All right, before time gets away from us here, big thanks to everybody with the Omaha Storm Chasers, Marty Cordero, Andrea Bedore, formerly Andrea Stave, Mark Nasser, the former voice of the Storm Chasers, doing the PA today, Jake Eisenberg, who is the brand new play-by-play announcer, all the great staff and the folks here in the Stormfront Team Store for having us out. We're going to do this a lot. You're going to hear throughout the summer. We have a great partnership with the Storm Chasers and Union Omaha. So thanks to everybody that stopped by and everybody that helped us out here at Warner Park. Let's welcome in Parker Gabriel from the Lincoln Journal-Star. PG, good Wednesday afternoon, sir. How are you post-spring practice?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Not bad. Let's, we're a couple of days post-spring practice, and we, saw the team in action in a full practice and then amongst fans. And there was a question, and we kind of ran out of time with availability for Scott after the game. I wanted to ask him, and so I'll ask you, if you had an idea of what you needed to accomplish at the beginning of spring, and you went through spring outside of the Fedoni and Honus injury, do you think that Scott would say, what I wanted to get accomplished, we did get accomplished in spring that was at the top of our list? And what do you think was at the top of that list?
Yeah, well, always near the top of the list is staying healthy and trying to balance that. And so, obviously, for the most part that happens. The guys that got hurt, though, a couple of tough ones, obviously, with Fedoni and Honus. I think, in terms of personnel questions that you wanted answered, I think mostly mission accomplished, maybe not fully. They seem to have decided or mostly decided not to go after a quarterback, at least not, you're not committed to taking a quarterback no matter what, definitely not based on what Scott has said. And then, on the side where maybe you didn't answer all the questions you wanted to answer, running back, you still don't quite know what you've got in that room. You know more. You don't know much more about Mark and Steph, but the rest of the guys you've learned at least some about. And then I think one of the things that was interesting, and Scott said this in the run-up to the spring game, I think on Wednesday before, I think one of the big things they wanted to accomplish was to, he said, make up for some lost time without spring ball last year and all of that. And so in that sense, they had a lot of guys hurt. It was a physical 14 practices before the spring game. It didn't come without cost. But I think you would have to say, mission accomplished on that front, just simply in the sense of 5 straight weeks, 15 straight practices after a full 8-week winter conditioning program with an off week in that. I mean, to me, that feels like a pretty good first, 14 or 15 weeks to calendar 2021 for the football program in general, just because winter conditioning and spring ball both proceeded, uninterrupted, which is a big change from last year.
What'd you think of Adrian on Saturday? Outside of the wind kind of making it difficult to throw, but what'd you think about Adrian on Saturday? And what, we got to hear from him twice. What do you think his spring was like?
Yeah, I think, I thought he looked fast. That was the first thing that jumped out to me. You like to see him put the deep ball on Omar Manning's hands. On that second drive, maybe, with the wind at his back, that's a good, pretty good touch throw. I mean, you could quibble. It could have been a little more out front, but given the wind and all of that, put it on him. There was a couple others that going the other direction into the wind where he didn't. So you want to continue to see the refinement, I think, on the accuracy front. But I thought he had good it looked to me like the ball was jumping out of his hands when he was throwing it, and he had good velocity and all that. And then he looked fast. You can say all you want. The coaches can say, feel like he's got an extra step. He can say he feels good. And all of that is, I thought, was backed up by what it looked like when he took off and ran. The yardage, that's a little fickle because they're not getting tackled and all of that. And ball security, I mean, you don't really know until the guys are out there actually trying to tackle you. But just from an athletic standpoint, I thought he looked pretty good. And, he talked to Sipple on Saturday then after the spring game about, took 18 credits this semester, and is graduating this week. And you know, he said he thought it was his best semester as a student and a football player at Nebraska. And so all in all, I would think he feels like it was an accomplished semester, and he's got no reason to feel otherwise, at least in my estimation.
Is this potentially the deepest group of weapons that he's had in 4 years?
Yeah, I think it is for sure. I mean, you know, in the second closest, I mean, honestly, the second closest was probably 2018 with Stanley Morgan and J.D. Spielman. And then, you know, and then there wasn't a ton after them at receiver, but then Devine came on and he had a good offensive line that I think it was underrated how much, you know, the first wave of guys that left, you know, hurt or how much that they were to replace. So, yeah, I think it is. They've got to produce. They've really got to find production in the backfield. You know, I just think there's such a chain reaction in the run game. It comes to not putting too much on eight. You know, not only is it loose enough the pass game, but then it comes to, you know, you've got to find production on the ground in some way, shape, or form. And if your running backs are only okay at it, then maybe you ask more of Adrian in the running game and all of that. So that's critical this summer to get that sort of ironed out, or at least to a place where you feel good about it. But certainly, you know, with the way the receivers look this spring, and I don't want to sit here and say they're going to have five world beaters or anything like that, but it looks like a deeper group. And if they keep progressing, they'll be fine outside at the receiver position. You got veteran tight ends, and that's a pretty good starting point for Nebraska at the skill position.
Doesn't it? And they've got options to experiment with bunch sets. You know, Torrey and Manning together on the same side of the field in a bunch set, that causes a lot of issues. And you know, people are enamored by Omar Manning. Torrey looks to be as advertised. The other guy is Oliver Martin, and you know, people will go, well, he's at his third school in the Big Ten, and he's really going to be your number one. And I've gotten that question. I said, you know what? He's proven himself, and he looks like he's finally found a fit, and he's happy with where he's at, that now you get to see the kind of player he was coming out of high school. What are your thoughts on the development of Oliver Martin, the brief we saw him last year where he kind of turned the corner at the end of the season, to what you were able to see this spring, and where he will fit in the ranking of pass catchers for Martinez?
Yeah, I think he checks a lot of boxes. I mean, that's where, you know, you're looking for the pedigree. Obviously, he was a highly touted kid in high school. That happens, you know, for a reason. What opened my eyes was the, you know, first day of spring when Frost said he had the highest vertical jump on the team at 40 inches. And, you know, he ran in the upper 4.4s or 4.5 or something like that with a, you know, laser timed in the 40 as part of their index testing. So then at that point, like, you know, the athletic profile is there. The pedigree is there from the recruiting standpoint. And then, you know, listening to him talk about what the challenge was and listening to his coaches talk about, you know, his eligibility timeline in 2020 and how he just didn't really – he was thrown in there without really much of a comprehension of the playbook because he hadn't been eligible until the middle of the season. And so – and he got to campus at the end of the summer, basically. So it's interesting to me. He just looks like a guy who has the physical skill set to be a productive player, and now – you know, you've got pushing a calendar year of familiarity with the system, and he looks comfortable, like you say. You know, it's a great problem to have if you've got three or four guys that you think are, you know, 40, 50 catch type guys, 50, 60 catch type guys. You know, I don't know exactly where he'll fall in the pecking order, but I know at the rate that he's getting open, you heard people talk about in practice and the rate that we saw at that open practice at the spring game. I mean, ball's going to find you if you're open. And this spring, what our eyes tell us and what coaches and players have told us, he was open a lot.
Where do you think this offense will benefit from Nebraska defensively? Veteran group, I think they're going to be tough to run against. They have great depth. But how will it benefit the offense Monday through Thursday and on Saturday, Parker?
Well, I mean, this is going to sound like your typical spring you know, spin, I guess. But I really do believe it. I mean, that they, you know, that scrimmage, you know, past the midway point where the offensive coaches came out afterwards and said, yeah, the defense, you know, kicked our butt basically today. I mean, that's a pretty good reminder for an offensive group that if you don't show up on a given day, you're going to get smacked, you know, and that this is a defense that is capable of doing that to you if you don't show up ready to go. And so, you know, last season, really sort of inexplicably, they were just inexplicably bad against Illinois and against Minnesota in particular. It wasn't a great offense to begin with, but they're just inexplicably bad and seemingly sort of, you know, lackadaisical in those two games in particular. And the defense, I mean, the defense wasn't without fault in those conversations, but I think it's good to show up to work every day and know that if you're not ready to go, you're going to get beat and get beat soundly. And the defense is capable of providing that reminder to the offense on a daily basis.
You know, it would have been there were more guys that were out that are frontline guys on defense that we would have loved to see on Saturday, but some of those guys, we know they're, you know, they got a track record, they got a history like Henrich. We know that he's going to be a viable part of that inside linebacker room. And I look at some of the different guys on defense that got to play an extended time on Saturday. Who would be some guys, whether they be a frontline guy or they're going to be number two on the depth chart or even number three, in your mind, like raise their stock the highest after what they did this past spring?
Oh, that's a good question. I think there's a lot of trust. The stock was already probably pretty high. I think there's a lot of trust in Miles Farmer and Noah Pulligate to be, role players. Probably not. They're not going to split time 50-50, or at least I wouldn't think so with Dismuke and Williams in the back end. But guys that where you don't have to play your 60-year guys, you know, 90 or 100 snaps a game. I think one of the interesting ones to watch is going to be at outside linebacker because, you know, JoJo Doman played every snap, at literally every defensive snap of 2020, and they don't want him to have to do that this fall, especially with 12 or 13 games instead of 8. And so, you know, that to me, you've got some guys that have put themselves in positions to maybe contribute in that spot, and Javen Wright and Isaac Gifford. And then on top of that, you know, Jamari Butler and Blaze Gunnarsson both got a lot of run in the spring game. They were both on the white. They both have a long way to go. But to have those guys healthy and engaged and in the mix through spring, I think this year was really big. And you probably, I know I think a little bit different about the trajectory of both guys, or I feel a little bit better about an upward trajectory for both guys than you did when you just didn't quite know where either was at before spring ball started. So there's a group of young players there that I'm not saying they're going to have necessarily, you know, 30 snap a game roles, but I think they've got some pieces there and guys that have at least started to make the argument to the coaching staff of like, hey, you know, you need to take a look at me in this area. And there's a bunch of guys in the linebacking level, I think, that fall into that camp.
I think Blaze Gunnarsson, now I still think he's going to benefit from having Mike Dawson as his coach, and he's a little bit stiff, but man,
yeah.
I was impressed by him on Saturday. I liked him coming out of Carroll. You know, I think Nebraska got in on him early. He got a nice little steal from Iowa State country. He's stiff, but I like that he's going to get to work with Mike Dawson, and now they've got 15 practices on tape. He's come a ways. I think he's in the mix. I was really, really impressed by his technique. And he was going up. There were quite a few times he was going up against the number one offensive line, and he was beating some of those tackles.
Yeah, he got Turner Corcoran for a sack, and those guys are pretty much best friends. I mean, if you remember when Blaze Gunnarsson picked Nebraska over Iowa State, he cited, I mean, he and Corcoran had become friends, and obviously Corcoran had already committed. And then, you know, he told me when he committed that Turner had wrote him a long note about why, sort of while he was in decision mode, about why he should pick Nebraska. And so those guys are close as it is, they're roommates. And Gunnarsson got him for a sack on Saturday. And, you know, Turner Corcoran laughed about it after the game and said, yeah, I know I got to hear about that all summer. But he's a guy who, you know, when you think back to, I remember watching Blaze Gunnarsson at a Friday Night Lights camp, and the athleticism just jumped off the page at you. You know, it was just he was different than anybody else at that camp. And so you just sort of, the way he looked on Saturday and coming through the spring healthy, like he's probably still got a lot going on up top. You know, I mean, he's learning the scheme. It's the first long stretch of time on the field he's had in his career at Nebraska. And so, you know, he looks like a guy who's thinking about the technique and trying not to do the wrong thing and all that. But if he hits that day where it pops for him and he can just go and play fast and not think, and you'd like to think that that would happen at some point, you know, he's got a bright future. There's a long way to go with him. You know, I don't want to make it sound like I think he's going to be a force this year or anything like that. But I just think he's one of those guys that you maybe think a little bit differently about, you know, on the 1 year or 2 year time horizon than you really could have said for sure, you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, and, you know, he's somebody that's nice to see a little bit that he's making progress instead of somebody who was highly thought of when they recruited him, and you don't hear about him for 3 to 4 years, that you get to see a little bit of him early. And you know what? It's ironically, he flashes, and the guy that is in that spot that we keep waiting for to flash, Caleb Tanner, actually probably had one of his better games. Yeah. I don't care if it's a regular season or a spring game. Probably had one of his better games as a Husker on Saturday.
Yeah, 2 sacks, and he was running, and he was running around, and he was involved and all that. Yeah, I mean, you know, you're sort of like, I would say the more times you have to say if this and if that and if this and if that, you know, you get yourself in a hole where you're trying to, you know, line up all the numbers on the Powerball. But one of the things that you just like on defense is the number of options. You know, it's not like if Blaise Gunnarsson can lock it in this year, and if Caleb Tanner makes a big jump, and if, you know, Jamari Butler comes along, and if Garrett, it's sort of like, let's just see what happens, because somewhere along the way, you just think someone will make a jump. And if you get one or two someones out of a group of, you know, 5, 6, 7 guys, if Javon Wright stays healthy, you know, that sort of thing, like you're looking for one or two in a group rather than trying to line up 5 and saying, okay, we need all of this to go right to be in a good situation. And that's one of the benefits of having, you know, a veteran group on that side of the ball.
PG, as always, I appreciate it. Good seeing you this past Saturday. We only got 113 more days to go.
That's right, and you get to spend a bunch of them at the ballpark, so can't complain about that.
That is. You've got an open invitation anytime you're up here. Parker Gabriel from the Lincoln Journal-Star. Big thanks to Chris, to George, all of the Storm Chaser folks, Fred Huey, the Sharpie County Tourism for hosting us out here. Storm Chasers continue the homestand through Sunday. Baseball is back in Omaha. We're back in studio tomorrow. USC is coming up next. This has been the Gary Sharp Show with George on 1620 The Zone.